The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweiss, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's readings, plural, are from Marcus Aurelius, Meditations, Book 7, Chapter 69, and Seneca's Letter 101 on the Futility of Planning Ahead. Aurelius writes, "The perfection of moral character consists in this: to live each day as if it were the last, to be neither agitated nor numb, and not to pretend." Seneca writes, "Let us order our minds as if we had come to the end. Let us postpone nothing. Let us balance life's accounts every day." So before we go into this, let me tell you what prompted this episode, which is that I realized that I had accidentally lived a day to its fullest. And that day was Tisha B'Av this year. And when I say accidentally, I mean that it was about an hour, 45 minutes before Tisha B'Av ended. And I was putting away my tefillin after mincha, and it suddenly hit me that I used every moment of this day fully, and I experienced it fully. And it was by accident in the sense that I did not set out to do this. So before we delve into that, Michelet's approach is that the emotions are the mind can see an idea clearly in abstract, but the emotions are only affected by particulars. So let me recount the particulars of that day just to build up the real world example here. So I guess Tisha B'Av began, it began on Shabbos, right? So we stopped eating at around 9 p.m. on Saturday night. I'm in Seattle, so everything was really late. I spent the remaining hour of Shabbos rereading the book Radical Hope, Ethics in the Face of Cultural Devastation or Destruction by Jonathan Lear, which I had been reading to mentally prepare myself for Tisha B'Av. Then at 10 p.m., then Shabbos ended, and we went to shul, and it was 10:20, and we davened Mariv, and I leaned Eicha, like I do every year. This is the 19th year I've leaned Eicha, and leaning Eicha always helps me to get into the mentality of Tisha B'Av, and especially with each year's understanding more and more what I'm saying, and also each year feeling more of what I'm saying, then I feel like I definitely read this year with more comprehension and more deep feeling than in past years. So that was Eicha. Then we came back and I wrote in my gratitude journal. And then I continued reading Radical Hope and then went to sleep. Then I woke up the next morning and I woke up a little bit earlier than my alarm, I believe, and decided to start, mentally preparing my shiur. Went to shul, daven shacharis, and then I give a shiur during kinos, and I decided to not offer it over Zoom because I felt it would disturb the vibe. The shiur is mostly for the members of our shul here, and if we had a bunch of people from yeshiva on or my talmidim on Zoom, then that would throw off the dynamic. So I gave about a 2-hour shiur. I thought it went really well. There was a lot of participation, a lot of insight on my part, even insight that I didn't walk into the shiur with. Gave shiur, came back, started planning a Stoic Jew podcast episode, prepared that, recorded it. Then we left and went to our Tisha B'Av Chavura, which I always joke that every year the best learning of the summer takes place on Tisha B'Av, which is true. Went there, we learned for 4 hours. We learned the entirety of Perek Gimel of Eicha with the Mahari Kara, got insights there. Came back, started working on the blog post about Tisha B'Av, which is for the next day. Went to Mincha, Davin Mincha. Had a good mincha. That's when I had my realization. Then I came back and finished putting the finishing touches on the next day's blog post, then wrote in my gratitude journal, and then Tisha B'Av was over. So that was my day. So there's a book I read a couple years ago, and actually more than a couple years ago, called Switch, by Chip and Dan Heath, the Heath brothers. And the actual full title is Switch: How to Change Things When Change is Hard. And the whole idea of so one of the strategies, the thing that led me to this now is one of the strategies that they have for making change is they call it follow the bright spot, which is, you know, most times when you want to change something, then you look at what's wrong with what you're doing now or what is lacking, and then you anticipate, you know, you try to figure out what to do to fix it. But what they argue is that one of the most beneficial strategies for changing is find out what is working and then clone it, emulate it. And they give an example of how there was this what was it? I think I don't have the book on me right now. It was a village in Vietnam where I don't know if some global health organization went in and was trying to figure out what to do to to boost health among children or infants. and they couldn't figure out what to do. And then they just decided to, like, you know, they had been taking certain measurements and making observations about different babies, and they just decided, okay, we're going to take all the babies that are healthy and find out what their mothers are doing, and then emulate it. And they did, and they found something that was shocking. I don't remember what it was. And then they just emulated it. And because they'd been focused on looking for what the problem was, then they didn't see the solution that was under their nose. And so if you start looking for solutions that are already working, then that will increase your success for the future. So that's kind of what approach I wanted to take here, is I wanted to look back after I realized that I had succeeded in living my day fully, which is something I've been talking about all year, in this podcast. Then I wanted to look back and see, well, what made it work, you know? And I say it was by, you know, so this is okay. I guess I apologize. This is a little scattered also. So I was thinking back, and once I thought about this excerpt from the book Switch, I thought about the whole framework of the book. Now, I don't think the Heath brothers came up with this mushle, this analogy, but they use the mushle of the rider, the elephant, and the path. And these represent the three areas which we can work on to promote change. And so imagine you have a guy who is riding on top of an elephant that's on a path. Now, let's say he wants the elephant to go into a different direction. So there are three things that can change to make the elephant go, or three ways to promote that change. One is the rider himself can change. So let's say the rider can, like, you know, whack the elephant with a stick or something like that, or like pull its ear. I don't know how you make elephants move, you know. And that might work, but it's also the least effective. Okay. Second method is motivate the elephant himself. If the elephant himself, you know, sees something that scares it, it will run away. If it sees something that it wants, it'll go towards it. So the other one is don't focus on the rider, focus on the elephant. But then the easiest way to make the elephant go where you want is to shape the path, you know, is if the elephant is on a path and the path goes in one way, chances are the elephant is going to follow that path. So really, it goes in increasing levels of efficacy. Is the least effective is to focus on the rider, which in our case is our minds, our intellects. The second way to promote change is to focus on the elephant, which is our emotions. And the third way is to focus on the path, which is our circumstances and our habits. So thinking back to this day that I lived fully, there are definitely elements of each method in the day. So let's say with the mind, you know, I know that making this podcast and focusing on the ideas of Stoicism and the ideas in Judaism has made me aware of how I am using my time, you know. And and again, this is a big theme, especially in Seneca, on the shortness of life. And we've talked before about how I've been using this method. I actually haven't been using it so much in the summer, but during the year in yeshiva, especially on Erev Shabbos, using this method of how to live each day as if it's my last, by realizing this is the last time I will experience this particular day, you know. And once I realized scarcity, but what do you call it when there's only one of them, the one of a kind nature of this day, and this is the only time I will have this day, then it causes me to use it differently. That's a conscious method of thinking about something in order to make the best use out of it. Also, another practice I started over the summer was in Shacharis, I will insert the bakasha, the request, using the words of Moshe Rabbeinu or of David HaMelech in Tehillim Tzadi Yud Beis, And I'll say this as a bakasha to Hashem. Limnos yaminu kein hoda v'navi levav chachma. Teach us to count our days that we may attain a heart of wisdom. And I say this every morning as a bakasha. And the idea behind it is if I, at the outset of my day, if I articulate this as an ideal of making each day count, then that will make me more able to use it, you know, more able to implement it. So that's a rider strategy because it's priming my mind to relate to the day this way. In terms of elephant strategies, what went into the success of my Tisha B'Av? So I think, I don't know for sure, but I think it has mostly been the mindfulness work that I've been doing through the months of May, June, and July. And I owe a lot of it to Tara Brach, who I've been talking about a lot, of I think just being, taking the time to do mindfulness practices and to cultivate awareness and doing very, very conscious things like being aware of what I'm feeling and, you know, Harin meditation of recognizing what's going on inside me, allowing it, meaning consenting to it willingly, saying let this be, or this too, or yes, and just feeling, allowing myself to feel what I'm feeling. That's the A. The I is investigate, and asking questions about my experience in order to figure out what my needs are. And then the N is nurturing, of sending myself the messages or giving myself what it is that I need, that I feel that I need at the moment, internally. And then reflecting on it afterwards and after the rain. So practices like that, I think, have just made me slow down, and be much more aware of what's going on. And so therefore, when I am, let's say, laning Eicha, or when I am giving shir, or when I am learning with my chavura, I'm able to be more present and focus on what I'm doing, and not focus so much on the goal and on the planning. And I think that, especially because I was a high school teacher, and especially because this last year involved a radical change of schedule, I was very, very focused on scripting out every aspect of my day. And, you know, I feel like there are people who can look at me and look at the way that I use. I mean, this was in the Purim skit. You know, there's a Purim video every year. And you know, the guys, the yeshiva guys, lovingly make fun of the Rebbeim. And what was the chief quality that they made fun of me for is using every single minute. You know, that was the stereotype, planning out every single minute and using it. So from that, you know, and I think that for much of the year, I convinced myself that I was doing what Marcus Aurelius and Seneca were saying, that I was living each day as if it were my last, and postponing nothing and balancing life's account every day, meaning I was making every minute count, but I was doing it through scheduling and living in my mind and living in the future and living for the next moment, as opposed to actually like being present in what I was doing. And I think that part of what contributed to the success of my Tisha B'Av is that I was not planning. I mean, of course, I had an idea of what I was going to be doing, but I think the mindfulness exercises helped me to calm my elephant, you know, and to be able to be aware of what I was doing. And then, you know, the third thing of shaping the path of habits, and it's not just habits, it's also like Chip and Dan Heath mentioned as one of their strategies here, that, you know, so there's habits, but there's also, they call it tweak the environment, or rally the herd. Tweak the environment meaning that, involving, you know, actively changing the situation around you, or rally the herd meaning promote the good behavior in the group that you're in, make it contagious. So I definitely, definitely, definitely owe a lot to the habits that I've cultivated. I do think that even though I just mentioned that I was going about living each day as if it was my last in a very like future oriented way, I do think that the self-discipline and the habits that I've cultivated for being able to stick to my schedule and stuff has served me well. And now I'm trying to take a more hands-off approach to that. But also I think the fact that I have such a good community. I mean, you know, the people who I learned with on Tisha B'Av morning. I mean, if it weren't for those people, then who were receptive and eager to learn, then I wouldn't have had a great shiur. And if it weren't for the fact that I have people who listen to this podcast or who read my blog, then I wouldn't have that same experience of making that content, you know. And if it weren't for my friends who I learned with on Tisha B'Av, I wouldn't have had that great learning experience. And those are not due to me. Those are due to the fact that I have been blessed with this great environment, this great, you know, and this great path, not just the static environment, but the trajectory, you know, that's been carved out by the people who I'm with. And obviously the biggest element of the path is the Torah. I mean, what would Tisha B'Av have been for me if I didn't have, I mean, this sounds silly, what would Tisha B'Av have been if I didn't have halacha to frame the day and to you know, build up to it with the 3 weeks and the 9 days and then Tisha B'Av itself and all the halachos and the fasting and the kinos and the davening? Like I had a program that I was following, and imagine like doing this on your own, trying to get these types of transformative insights without the framework of halacha. I mean, halacha is, I mean, that's why we call it halacha, is walking, you know. Halacha is the ultimate derech. I mean, we say this, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Tamid Chachamim, Marvim Shalom, Shneamar, blah, 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 blah. Halichos olam lo, the ways of the world are his. Al tikri halichos ela halachos. You know, that halachos are paving out halichos olam, ways of the world, you know, these grooves in your life that lead you towards development and perfection and awakening and transformation and insight, you know. So when I look back, you know, those three factors, or those three categories of factors, of the priming my mind and tending to my emotions in a compassionate way that fosters awareness, and then having a great environment, great habits, and a great halachic structure for guiding my life. And I think that's what contributed to my to living this Tisha B'Av in the fullest way. And I do think, you know, and this is, I guess I'll end up with this question. I mean, on the one hand, consciously setting a goal of living each day as if it were your last will help, because you'll be aware that this is an ideal. But on the other day, success is not going to come about through trying it. You know, there's that title of a book, which I believe I read most of the book many years ago, Stumbling Upon Happiness, you know, and I don't remember much of the idea, much of the ideas in the book, but the title, Stumbling on Happiness, is that if you're making a goal to be happy, then that's not going to work, you know. Or same thing with Lishma, like learning Torah Lishma, is if your goal is to learn Lishma, you know, to learn Torah for its own sake, then once it's a goal, then it's not Lishma, you know. So there's that paradox. And so I think that the question I have here is, like, I guess, to what extent, you know, is having this as a goal to live each day as if it's your last, to what extent is that, you know, going to help towards that end? And to what extent should you not be goal oriented in that way? I don't know. I sense it's a pendulum, but I don't really know. So I will leave off with that question. That's it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. Alternatively, if you'd like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle and PayPal are MattSchneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. And thank you especially to those who made contributions on Tisha B'Av. That was a very welcome surprise. If you would like to sponsor a day's worth or week's worth of content, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. And if you are interested in sponsoring in the near future, I have a couple of, and you don't have something specific in mind that you want to sponsor for, I have a couple of things in mind, good dedications. So reach out to me if you're interested in that. Thank you to my listeners for listening, and thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.